Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn here with Andy Holding to look ahead to Friday evening's Dundalk card. Seven races to look forward to from Dundalk. Not the field sizes that we're used to in some of the races. Some fairly small fields today, which may affect your each-way punting, but that may make them a little easier to find the winner of. Good morning, Mr. Holding. How are you?
Good morning.
You're in the studio, aren't you, tonight?
I am, yes. No idea who I'm with, and I'm sure it'll be a pleasant day all the same.
You're with Rory DeLaghi, and I believe it's Stuart Beasley in the presenter's
chair. Better bring my A game to the table.
I know. That may not be correct. That's just going off memory, but yes, I believe that's right. So it should be a good day. Plenty of good racing to look forward to, including the Dundalk card this evening. As I said, seven races, and it is a strange one, because normally you've got at least three or four, you know, 15, 16 runner handicaps to get your teeth stuck into. It's a little bit different today, isn't it?
Yeah, the 6.35 and 7.05 are the best two races in the car, but unfortunately they come with no each-way betting attached to them. Well, obviously you can bet each-way. That's daft. But yeah, three places, which is the most important thing I'm trying to get at. And also the last race, well, only five runners, which is very unlike Dundalk in recent times. In most races we've had double-figure fields and three places each-way betting on offer in every race.
Mm. Yeah, but not the case today.
Oh, well.
Doesn't matter. We'll just have to find the winners instead. Instead of the each-way bets. So we'll start trying.
Up into, a different mindset.
Yes, it does. The 6.05 is first up, and it's a maiden of a 7 furlongs, where period piece is a short price, as we record, but is entitled to go very, very close, because it would appear that she's up against some fairly exposed types here. She may be getting a little bit exposed herself. She had 3 seconds in a row, Andy, but can she get a point on the scoreboard today?
Possibly, yeah. I just think she's a bit skinny for me here at 10 to 11. I don't think there's a great deal between period piece and unchanged on their sort of speed figures I've got anyway. In fact, I've got them for almost identical. So, obviously, I'm going to go with the second favourite because of the value at 3 to 1 unchanged. I don't think there's anything wrong with period pieces. Resolution, even though she finished second on three separate occasions. She hasn't improved at all. I've got her doing 80, 83, 82. She's running to the same level on the numbers. She's got a terrible draw again to overcome, and the draw's undone her before here in the past when she was stuck out on the wing on her second start. Did really well to finish second, that really nice horse, Charlie Bear. That's probably her best effort, to be fair. But yeah, I do like unchanged. He caught the eye first time out against Hatel Nasser. In a decent figure race back in February. And then, I wouldn't say he upped his game, but he also bumped into two nice horses the next day, Petit Adagio and Mario, who set a reasonable standard for that race and they fought out the finish. But I like the way Unchanged kept on. He got a bad draw that day and did well of those that was drawn in double figures. He's got a slightly better draw tonight, certainly better than the favourite. Cheek pieces are on again, and at 3-1, like I say, in a race where the two of them are virtually on top of each other on my speed figures, I've got to go with the second favourite at 3-1.
Okay. Next up is the 6.35. It's a race over 6 furlongs. Family House is a non-runner in this one, or at least the only non-runner at the time of recording. That's at 20-10. And that leaves us with 5. The top four in the handicap, if you like, here, Andy, you could set your clock by, couldn't you? We know exactly what they're going to do. We know exactly how they're going to run. But then you've got I Will Excel down at the bottom, who is 5-1 joint outside of the field at the time of recording. But the fact that he is only 5-1 suggests that this is a pretty tight race. 5 got a post, but which one do you fancy?
Yeah, this is quite a complex little affair. A lot will be down to tactics. There aren't any obvious trailblazers, if you like. I presume on side you will slide along in front, and you know, considering the complexities of the race, he's only a 5-6-1 shot as we speak. Paul McMaster is probably the standard bearer here. He's got a rating of 102, and he, along with Russian Soul, have been playing their trade out in more sunnier climes. Balmut Mass, funny enough, has been quite redundant in recent times. I thought he would have been out in the desert or a little bit more industrious during the winter, but I think he's running out of options more than anything else. He's a 7-year-old now. He's rated 102. And we don't see him very often now because there's just not the races for him. But his last run here was a good one, fourth behind Captain Joy, who would be one of the favourites for the mile contest at Lingfield in a week or so's time. It's just whether he can reproduce some of his old form, you know, which you're sort of hanging your hat on. Russian Sol, he's a very similar type. He runs between 6 furlongs and a mile. He's been out in the desert. He hasn't really cut much ice this year, like quite a few of Mickey Halfords. He's just been a little bit outclassed. And he comes back here trying to find easier pickings. Shawnee hasn't run for a while. So we're really left with I Will Excel to fly the flag for those that have been running recently. And I think he's going to run a big race here, Michael O'Callaghan's 3-year-old. He was well fancied last week, but he bumped into Witchwood Warrior, who similarly to Russian Sol had been out in the desert and running to a good standard. And he just bumped into one who was obviously a little bit more streetwise and a bit more switched on that particular occasion. He certainly went well in the visors. He tracked the pace and I thought he was going to win, actually, coming to the 2 furlong pole. But the winner, with, like I say, the run under its belt recently, just found a little bit more for pressure. But that run should have put an edge on this Colt by Exceeding Excel. He's got the blinkers on now to replace the visors. And his speed figure, actually, just because even though that was only a 9-runner race last week, certainly gives him an excellent chance of causing and pulling off a little bit of a shock here around about 5-1 with William this morning. I reckon he's one of the best bets on the card here, I Will Excel. Do like him, and he's got a good chance of taking advantage of some horses who perhaps have seen better days.
Okay, fair enough. I Will Excel, the young gun in the field, in the 6:35. The 7:05 is next up. This one over a mile. 7 going to post. So again, we don't quite have the each way terms that we're after. But the Dancing Law heads affairs at the time of recording and is as consistent as you'd like at Dundalk. We know that he's going to be there or thereabouts, Andy, but can something else trouble him and poke the head in front today?
Yeah, it looks a good matchup here, doesn't it, between the two old rivals, Beau Satchel and Dancing Lord. They met early on in the season, in October, when the Dundalk bandwagon was just about to start to rock and roll. And Beau Satchel, who was in good form going into that race, slaughtered the Dancing Lord, to be fair. Absolutely wiped the floor with him. But to be fair, the Dancing Lord has subsequently gone on to run numerous good races here throughout the winter. In fact, he's a 4-time subsequent winner, so he's obviously improved significantly from that run, but it's still there in the form book. And if you look at the weights and measures of that race, Beau Satchel was trying to give £6 to the Dancing Lord, which he did, and tonight he actually receives £5. So I can say, if you're a strictly weights and measures man, Beau Satchel's an absolute penalty kick here tonight. It's just whether you rely on current form and continuity to sort of upset that particular theory. He also ran well, Beau Satchel did, when he was 6 behind Captain Joy et al. In that whirlwind time early on in the campaign, when Captain Joy was obviously in fantastic nick. That was a special heat, that was, and he was drawn wide and he ran on really strongly down the lane. Also noticed in his form credentials, Beau Satchel, he's won off a break as well. When he won at Galway, he was off the track for 63 days. So I don't think the pause at Refreshers is going to be that much of an inconvenience for this 5-year-old. Provided Nado McGuinness has got him anywhere near his best, and his best obviously is good enough to beat Dancing Lord, as we know. At the prices, 11-4, 3-1 this morning, looks an absolute gift for Beau Satchel. Yeah, and he rates the nap of the night.
Okay, Beau Satchel the pick then in the 7:05. The 7:35 up next, a mile handicap. And it's one of the races that you're more accustomed to seeing at Dundalk, Andy. 5-1 the field at the time of recording, as open as you want, really. Where should we start with this one?
Well, I don't think it's that open at all, really. It is numerically, but if County Wexford turns up in the same form as he did here last week, then I think he'll win again. I was really impressed by the way this horse went about his work. He got to the front from an early stage. He looked like then he was going to get engulfed by several deep closers who stalked him like a panther in the bushes. And they just couldn't withstand his rally in the latter stage. I actually thought he won with more in hand than the official margin suggests. I just thought he basically dossed around in front. He was looking at the crowd and looking at the lights and not really concentrating on what he was doing. I think he's the kind of horse who might have a little bit up his sleeve. He's got a great draw again tonight. Daniel Redmond will be surely aware that he's got that perfect position on the inside rail to slide along in front again. He certainly wouldn't want to be squandering that stall one for sure. And like I say, that was a good time last week as well. I've got nothing to say, anything bad to say against County Wexford. You can, however, form an orderly queue in poking holes in one or two of the others in behind him. Coach Bombay hasn't won for 18, starts on the spin. Rota Baron's a bit in and out. Obviously, he can run to that level that we saw last time out. He's a player. My Mini Kaneko, he's also got a little bit of back class as well, but, you know, one win in 26 and none on the all-weather is a little bit, you know, you need a good imagination to see him winning. So this really is County Wexford to lose. So, yes, it is a wide-open race technically, but like I say, that performance last week suggests that County Wexford may have a little bit in hand.
OK, County Wexford, the pick in the 7.35. The 8.05 is next up. 1 mile trip, the trip for this handicap race. And heading affairs at the time of recording is absorbing for the O'Brien team. We've seen Connections land some decent races here over the winter, haven't we, Andy? A few that you've been a big fan of. This one, obviously not a stable star, is she? But at 100 to 30 at the time of recording, is she value in this?
I think she's got a great chance, certainly as good a chance as any to take this contest. Obviously, she was involved in that race at Song of Love, managed to be victorious in the last day, beating Rest Assured. And, you know, she's come home quite strongly up the inside rail. That's sometimes not the place to be at Dundalk, as we know. Sometimes you want to be finishing down the outside. I think the step up in triple suit as well, and I think she'll certainly beat Rest Assured and Ethereal, who are in that race. I've given up with Rest Assured. He's very much sacked now, and he's like the Mario Balotelli of horse racing for me. He's had his chances. She's had her chances, and now she's very much going to be sitting on her backside on her hands for quite a while, so she doesn't get any respite off me tonight. So, yeah, I've got a feeling that Absorbing's going to come out on top here. You'd certainly respect Lily's Rainbow, who was good the other day when winning in fairly convincing fashion. Unfortunately, we haven't seen Denise Foster's three-year-old for quite a while. I don't know why she's all of a sudden been on her holidays, as it were, but 91 days off the track is a little bit disconcerting. Echoes on my mind, that's certainly one to consider as well at a price. And now Brian's second string. With the blinkers on for the first time, that could just sharpen that horse up, because she seems to be just like drifting through her races without really engaging her mind, to be perfectly honest. She didn't get the best of runs the last day behind Lily's Rainbow, and I think she would have finished closer with a clearer run. Certainly think she's better than the form figure suggests at the moment. But I'd have to go with Absorbing. Despite the draw being tricky, stall 11, that's not easy to overcome. But I like the way she finished off a race here last time out, and hopefully she'll uphold the form.
OK, the penultimate race on the card is the 8.35, a mile and a half the trip for this one. And Christie's Call has been supported this morning. I should note one non-runner here, easy for me to say, which is Asian Wing. Number 7 does not run, and that one was going to be pretty popular in the betting. That leaves us with Christie's Call at the head of affairs. But there are plenty of consistent types who would be expecting to be there or thereabouts at the close of play here, Andy.
Yeah, this one's a wildly difficult contest. However, I'm probably going to sound like a broken record here. I think everyone's all of a sudden going to start reading my mind what I'm going to go for. But I'm a massive fan of this Christie's Call. He's done us a couple of good turns in recent times. How that horse, by the way, started 8-1 last week. It actually opened up at 10-1. I tipped it in the morning. I was at Cheltenham and I saw 7-2, 4-1 in the morning. I thought, yeah, you know, he's a decent enough each way price at that. You know, you should get a run for your money, blah, blah, blah. I nearly dropped off my stool when I saw that. I'd won at 8-1. I actually didn't back the horse, so because I was obviously, my mind was elsewhere. But that was probably one of the prices of the season so far at Dundalk. And the way he stays on in his races certainly suggested he's going to get home no problem here tonight. He's got form over a mile and a half, of course, in the past, but most of his best form and his winning form is over a mile and a quarter. But you wouldn't put it against him to step up in trip and improve. He'd be ridden quietly from the back of the field yet again by Ronan Whelan, who certainly gets a tune out of him. And you'd like to think, anyway, that he's got a half a decent chance of upholding the form with the likes of Crown Pleasure, Headlong, and a Diamond, who also took part in that particular race. Others to consider, well, Collar Pier has got an absolute shocker of a draw out on the wing. She'd be the automatic choice if she was drawn a little bit lower, but that might just be her undoing. And, you know, no wins in 11 starts now. They're sort of like excuses are beginning to rack up a little bit with her. I tipped her last day and thought she was a bit disappointing. Asian Wings and definitely another player. That horse caught the eye after a little bit of a layoff here the last day when doing some good work behind Christie's Call. Certainly think that horse has got every chance of finishing at least there or thereabouts alongside my main selection. But why upset a winning formula when it's paying off? And with that in mind, I'm going to go with Christie's Call yet again.
OK, the final race is the 9.05, 1 mile, 2.5 furlongs, only the 5 runners going to post. but you can probably only rule one of them out confidently here, Andy. Dancing with Angels 20-1 at the time of recording. The rest of them pretty tightly packed in the market. What do you fancy here?
Yeah, could be a little bit trappy, this. A tactical heat. And with that in mind, I'm going to go with Paddy Prendergast, four-year-old. Windward Passage, horse is having his all-weather debut here at Dundalk, but it should, to all intents and purposes, be fully at home here on the synthetics. He likes a fast surface. The last time we saw him win was at Downroar when the ground was really firm. He subsequently got beat on a couple of occasions thereafter. But he's the kind of horse, I think, once he's given his head and allowed to roll along in front, he could be very, very dangerous to contend with for the rest here. Obviously, Putin and She's No Joke, who should be a little bit better tonight now, dropping back in trip. Look, the obvious dangers on form. The other two are quite difficult to fancy in many respects. But, yeah, I think it's a tightly knit affair with the front three in the market. But Windward Passage is really good when he can dominate in small fields, as he's proven in the past. And the other two jockeys, I'm sure, will be aware that they won't want to let him go off too far. But he's the choice of us. He's around about 2-1 this morning with William Hill. And hopefully that'll round off what could be a good night for us here at Dundalk.
OK, Windward Passage, the pick then, in the lucky last for Andy. Great stuff, Mr. Holding. Get in your car, get up to Leeds, and because you're on the air today and indeed on Saturday. So, busy couple of days for you.
I can't wait. It should be good fun.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.